2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 16. And as we read, I want you to tell me what the theme of this passage is. 2 Corinthians 5:16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though once we regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father in heaven, tonight we approach your word again, and I pray that you would warm our hearts, that you would quicken us, Lord, that you would breathe with your spirit on our hearts, and that we would be thrilled again with who you are and what you have done. We thank you for the privilege to celebrate and remember your Son again tonight and what he did for us, proclaim his death. And I pray that it would be a blessing to our hearts, that it would be for the glory of his name and your name as well. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the obvious theme in this passage is what? Reconciliation, especially since the theme at the top of your page says that. That's your first answer. What is the theme of this passage? Second question, why is this important? Why is this important? Why is the theme of reconciliation important? Well, it's important that we understand this because we need to be reconciled. And it's the message we need to take to the world around us. It's what we're to be doing in Mentor, Ohio. It's what we should do in Painesville, Ohio, in anywhere, Ohio, where you live, in Mexico, in Africa, in Russia. This is what we are to be doing, taking the message of reconciliation. Then the next question, number three. Did we fill anything there? Because we need to understand that we need to be reconciled. And it's also the message that we need to proclaim or take to the world. Number three, what is reconciliation? Give me an idea of reconciliation tonight.
Bringing two parties or two people together that are separated by whatever.
Okay, bringing two parties together who are separated. Good. Anybody care to add or? Okay, there's conflict between the two parties. Anything else?
Yeah, reconciliation would be taking care of that problem between the two parties.
Okay, taking care of the problem that's between the two parties, causing the enmity between the two problems, dealing with that problem.
Reuniting.
Is that what you said? Reuniting. Jim?
Bringing together,
okay. It's returning to favor. Returning to favor, two or more who before were friends, but have now stopped being friends. Let me just ask. We have to think a little bit theologically tonight, okay? It's returning the favor. Have you ever been in favor with God? When you're born, are you born with God's favor over your life? No. So what does it mean, returning the favor? What's that?
From creation before the fall.
Okay, from creation before the fall. Our first progenitors, Adam and Eve, when they fell, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. They plunged our race into sin, into corruption. And we are born with their corruption. We are born with their guilt. And we need to be returned to what humans had at one time in the Garden of Eden, which was fellowship with God. And so it's returning the favor two or more who before were friends but have now stopped being friends. Next question, number four. Who needs reconciliation? Paula?
Everyone.
We so often think of people outside the church who are bad. And we just think that inside the church, well, we go to this church, we must be good. And hopefully our study on pride in Sunday school is helping us to see that it's very, very easy to see people who are no different than we are, but for the grace of God. And the other day, Mike and Chris had a brunch. They hosted a brunch at their house. And as far as I could tell, I think there were about three men there who were unbelievers. And I don't remember exactly what came up in the conversation, but it was the idea that in the Roman Catholic Church, there are a lot of priests who are bad. And I remember making the comment that it's really easy to point fingers, but if you look at the news during the course of a year, you will see evangelical Christian pastors accused of things that evangelical Christian pastors should not be accused of and convicted of. And so it's very easy to point and throw stones outside of our walls, but we are here tonight, and again, all of us are sinners. Now, you may be here as a sinner, saved by grace. But again, if you're saved by grace, it's because of God's grace, not because you were looking or you were seeking or you were doing anything to get close to God. We need to recognize who we are ourselves, first and foremost, and not just talk about other people and other religions out there. I don't think we ever see in Paul's letters, we see that he talks about the world in terms of the gospel. For example, this verse here. I mean, he's talking in verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And he says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He's speaking to people, and he's not hammering them with, I'm good, you're bad. He's just giving them the gospel over and over. He's assuming the ones that I'm talking to outside of Christ need reconciliation. And I think it's safe for us to assume that too. I had an interesting experience this week. I was at the hospital and I hadn't eaten lunch. It was about 2 o'clock and Melissa's parents were in there with John and Melissa. So I excused myself to just go across the street and get something to eat. And I went to Chick-fil-A and I was by myself. So I sat down. And I thought, I didn't bring anything to read. I didn't bring my MP3 player to listen to a message, just unprepared. And, you know, one of the host or hostesses, they're normally senior citizens, and they're walking around giving you what you need. And it was a lady, an older lady, and she approached my table, and I asked her for something, and she got it for me. And so I just asked her, I said, okay, how are you today? And she said, oh, I'm fine. I said, do you enjoy your job here? And she said, I do. She said, I've worked here since it opened. I said, well, when did it open? She said, about 6 years ago. I said, well, you must enjoy that. And she said, if I didn't, I wouldn't work here. And that was, so we just got to talking a little bit, and I said, well, why don't you have a seat? And, well, I'm not really supposed to, but I'll sit down and talk to you. You know, we just have to be friendly to people. And you're looking in a situation like that, how can I give the gospel? And so we talked a little bit. I found out a lot about her. She she's lived in Willowick all her life. Finally, I asked her if she attended a church, and she said, yes, a Presbyterian church. Well, I know some pretty good Presbyterian churches. And so I asked her a little bit about that, and she said, well, our pastor, she does this or that. I said, oh, so you have a lady pastor. And she said, yeah, our last four have been women. And so I'm learning a little bit more about what's going on in her life. And I asked her how old she was, 77. And then I asked her, I said, you know, we just have to be blunt with grace at times, but you have to get to the point. And I said, or she had mentioned that she had had a heart attack. She said, my first heart attack. I said, oh, are you in counting? She goes, no, I've only had one. And I also beat cancer. I said, wow, and God has given you 77 years. And so I asked her, are you ready? I said, you're 77, you've had cancer, you had a heart attack. Are you ready to die because that day is coming? And she said, I really think I am. And let me encourage you, do not leave a conversation like that. What should be your next question? Why would you say that you're ready? If you come to the judgment someday and you stand before God, what would you, and he said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? Why do you think you're ready for judgment? And her words were, well, I've left a pretty good legacy on this earth. And immediately you know her hope and her trust is in herself. And you know her hope and her trust is not in Christ. And so, you know, where do you go from there? And what you basically have to say then is, you're wrong. But you don't want to come out and say, you're wrong. And I asked her, I said, well, what about Christ? Does he have anything to do with this? Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was Martin Luther who said, if we don't talk about and we don't sing about Christ, anyone who doesn't talk about and who doesn't sing about Christ, it really is the proof that they don't believe. Because if we believe, that is something that we'll talk about. And it just reminded me again of that quote. What about Christ? Well, he's important. What did he do? Well, he died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? And then we got to talking just a little bit more in the situation there. And I was able to share that you and I both, are sinners who have offended God. And the only hope that you and I can have is that our faith is in the one who bore the curse for us, who bore the wrath of God over our heads. And if our faith is not in Christ, we do not have any hope. And, you know, once you get around to that part of the conversation, normally a person is looking to end it. And she tried to, and she did. I still asked her a couple of questions more, but we could pray for her. I think her name was Barb. But that is just an example of how do we deal with somebody out in the world? And we have to be constantly looking for opportunities like that. Again, this morning, we saw that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Paul never, ever got over God's grace. There is none righteous. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And we are in the flesh, and those who are in the flesh, says Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 5, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Number 4 or 5? 5. Who is the author of reconciliation? Who is the author of reconciliation? Someone offends you. What do we think? Someone says, you ought to be reconciled to that person. And we say, okay, as soon as they come and apologize, as soon as they come and want to make things right, I'm right here. I'm ready. But I'll put the thumb screws on them first. If they come, I'll make them eat humble pie. I'll just do a lot of things, and then perhaps I will grant forgiveness. We'll be reconciled. Verse 18. All this is from God. In this world, there are a lot of religions. A lot of different named religions. But you can narrow them all down to two. And only two. That's the next space. There really are only two religions. The first one is man's religion. And then if you skip a space down below, it's God's religion. What happens in man's religion? Man says, I have sinned. Man knows that he's not perfect. Most people will tell you that. But man knows that he is not perfect. Man says, I have sinned, so what do I have to do to fix this? What do I have to do to fix this? Short line there for two words, to do. And then you have God's religion. God says, man has sinned. What? The next space is what? Can you guess the next two spaces? Man says, I have sinned. What am I going to do about it? God says, man has sinned. What? What am I going to do about that? What am I going to do to fix this? You may have a big picture window. And a little kid is playing, and he finds some stones, and he throws a stone, or he has a slingshot, and he breaks your front picture window. And you run out of the house, and you grab him by the arm, and you say to him, what are you going to do to fix what you just did? And that's only natural, isn't it? God says, we're the ones that threw stones and broke the big picture window. His law, his holiness. And God says, you have sinned. My anger is fixed against you. You are my enemy. You cannot defuse my wrath. Now, what am I going to do about this? Is that amazing? Why is that amazing? Because none of us would ever think to do that with a young person who broke our picture window. You will pay. You broke, you pay. I broke God's law. He pays. That is amazing. We throw the word amazing around, but that is truly amazing. Now, the next question. Number 6. What is the explanation of reconciliation? Verse 19. Well, we'll read 18 again. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that ministry? That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. All right, there's our next space. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, the Son, reconciled us to himself. He brought about peace. He brought favor, again, between two parties who were at enmity with each other. But it's not to everyone, though. It is offered to everyone, but is everyone reconciled? No, everyone is not reconciled. God's only way to deal with us in peace and not wrath is through Jesus Christ. Verse 19 again. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. All right, that's letter B. God did not impute sin to certain people in this world. What does it mean to impute sin? I know somebody here has to know that word. What does impute mean? Put it on. Okay, you're putting to an account. Putting to someone else's account. Not consider it. Reckon it to an account. Not to take something into an account. We see someone doing something wrong, and many times we just don't want to deal with it. So we turn a blind eye. We say, oh, it's like Sergeant Schultz, who always said, I see nothing. So we turn a blind eye. God did not do that. God never does that. He sees all and he has it written down. He has taken everything into an account. Letter C. God made an incredible exchange with certain sinners. God made an incredible exchange with certain sinners. Verse 21. Well, we'll read that in just a minute. Have you ever had a gift exchange? Did you ever come out on the bad end of one of those? I remember first grade over at Hopkins Road. My first grade teacher was Mrs. Wissinger. And we drew names for the gift exchange. And I remember my mom took us to Toyland, and I think it was probably a dollar limit for everybody for a gift exchange. Well, at a dollar back then, you could buy a lot. And I remember I stayed there as long as we could, as long as mom let us, and I looked through that whole store in Painesville for the perfect gift. If I was going to get a gift, this is what I would like. And I examined everything. All right, no, I don't have enough to buy this and this, this, maybe this. And I made the best choice that I could possibly make. And so the next day came, and all the presents were wrapped, and I don't remember who got my gift, but I don't even remember the gift that I got because it was so underwhelming. And I just remember thinking, that was so unfair. It looks like somebody went somewhere and just tore it off the shelf and brought it, and that's what I got. What happened in this gift exchange? Verse 21, for our sake, he, who is he? God the Father. We have to keep our pronouns straight here, okay? God the Father made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, who's him? Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Think of what happened in this most incredible gift exchange in all of human history. God gave what? On your page there, God gave Sinners what? Sins. God gave sinners' sins to Christ. Why? Because there was a great trade-off in this gift exchange for Christ, wasn't there? No. God gave what to sinners? God gave the righteousness of Christ to sinners. He didn't just pardon your sins and say, okay, you can go free. He didn't just say, I forgive you. But he gave something positive with which we can stand before him and be accepted. The perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He obeyed perfectly in our place. What did you do to deserve that? What did you do to deserve that? Answer? Nothing. And we saw this morning that some people think God did well to save me. He could have done worse. He couldn't do well to save anyone based on us. He could have done better, we should say, if we could say it reverently, to save someone else beside us. But he saved us. Is that not the most unjust gift exchange in the whole world, in all of history? For our sake, he was thinking of us. God the Father made God the Son to be sin, who never, ever knew any sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Do you ever have doubts in this world of doubt? Do you ever say, I wonder if it's all true? Could so many people be wrong, and the Christians that are in this world, relatively few compared to the population of this world, so few people be right? And I believe that one way that we know the Scriptures are absolutely inspired by God is because no human being left to himself would have ever devised a salvation like this. Reconciliation. The offended one going and fixing the problem when the people who did the offending were not interested in fixing the problem. So, then, what should we do? Question 7. What should we do? The last phrase of verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. What should we do? We should be ambassadors for Christ. What does the word ambassador mean? It means somebody who's sent. Who is Christ sent out? Who does Christ send out? How many believers? All of us. Every single one of us. That's what we are here for right now, to be ambassadors, sent ones for Christ with the message of reconciliation. And it's that idea at the end of verse 20. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, if you go to someone tonight, let's just say you went to Chick-fil-A after, well, you couldn't do that. They're not open on Sunday. Let's just say you went anywhere after church tonight and you said to someone, you just implored them and said, be reconciled to God. What do you think they'll tell you? Jim?
Buzz off.
Why? Natalie?
I'm a good person, I'm not at war with God.
I'm not at war with God. I don't need to be, why would I need to be reconciled to God? And so we can start here and we have to show them God's holiness. He is our creator. We disobeyed our creator. And then if the Lord permits, you could even use the example of the most unjust gift exchange in your history, your own history. Okay? You could probably think of a time where you got the short end of the stick in a gift exchange. You could use that. And then just bring in, by the same way, God did a gift exchange with us, and he got the worst of that deal. We should be ambassadors for Christ. And then secondly, what else do you think we should do with a doctrine like this? We should... I hear murmurings, but I hear no words. Scott? Be thankful. What else? We should praise him. Any other ideas? We should meditate on that. Worship. That's what I had written down. All those other things are correct. Be grateful, praise him, meditate on it. We should worship. Why do we come to church? We should say, why do we come to this building? Because the church is not a building. The church is a body of people who are in Christ. But why do we come here? Well, people say it's what we do on Wednesday night, it's what we do on Sundays. Or someone might say, I get to see my friends. Or I learn about God's word. I get to sing. I get to pray. All of those things are good things. But why should we come here? To worship and adore and love our God in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, lifting our hearts to God because we are grateful and loving to him because he paid our debt. He paid our debt and God has made us. What has God made us? He reconciled us. He's made us his children. I guess we would call that in adoption. He made us his children. Because we were reconciled, what does that make us? I heard it. Friends. Friends. When, in reality, we should be his enemies forever and ever and ever. And so tonight, may we praise his name for his great salvation, and we have to ask the question, are you reconciled to God? All of us are his enemies by nature. Have you been reconciled to God? Have you been brought into peace with him? I didn't ask if you feel peace. Many people go to church and say, I enjoyed that. I felt peace there. And that's not a surprise because for the first time in a whole week, they turned off all the media that they're around, the music and the TV and the radio and just noise, and they sat down and they felt peaceful. Well, that's not a surprise. There's not as much going on to distract us in this place. But feeling peace or feeling peaceful is much different than having peace with God. Has the enmity that every human being has ever had between himself and God been removed between God and you? Have you trusted Christ? Have you trusted that He took that enmity, your sin that nailed Him to the cross, and He removed that, He removed the obstacle, and thus you and God have been reconciled? Your sin separated you from Him. Is it still separating you from Him? And as we get ready for the Lord's Supper tonight, let's look again at verse 21. For our sake, God the Father made Jesus Christ, His own Son, to be sin. The one who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God.